had to sell their shares?
Well, it's not quite like that. In the lower 48, there are corporate takeovers every day. You go and you make a tender for shares, or you go out and you try to buy up shares in a corporation, and then the people running the corporation wake up one day and they discover they're a minority. Somebody else controls the corporation. Well, since all the native land in Alaska, virtually all the native land in Alaska, is held by the native corporations, after 1991, these corporations could be taken over by corporations run by white people or by Japanese or by anybody.
Well, the defense industry, if they decided the land was in an area that was they want to impact, make it.
Well, the defense, if land is needed for national defense purposes, it can be taken anyway. But you're quite right in saying that in the past, in the United States and in every other country, various schemes have been worked out to take their land from the native people. That's the history of North America. And back in 1887, in the lower 48, Congress passed a law that's very, very similar to ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. And the result was that in 50 years, the Indian people in the lower 48 wound up owning only 50% of the land they'd started out with. And many people are concerned about that precedent, because it is very, very similar to this ANCSA setup. We went to a meeting at Kasan, that's a village down in southeast Alaska. And there, when they, under the land claims, there's 100 people in that village. Under the land claim settlement, they got some timber, because there is marketable timber down there. So they sold their timber, and they put the money in the bank, and they gave everybody $25,000. All 100 people in the village got $25,000, and they left the rest of the money in the bank, and out of the interest it earns every year, they pay everybody in the village $10,000 every year so they can repair their houses and buy snow machines and so on. Now, I got to warn you, I've been to 30 villages, and that's the only village I've been to where people are happy with the settlement. And you can see why they're happy. I think most people in Alaska thought that's what it all meant back in 1971. Well, it didn't. And your case is typical here. You know, you said, well, you got $1,000, and then you got $3, and then you got this. Well, that's the experience in most places. But I said to those people at Kasan, you know, who get $10,000 a year from their corporation, I said, well, what are you going to do in 1991? And they said, oh, our shareholders will never sell. Well, suppose somebody comes along, he's only got to go to 50 shareholders and buy up their shares, and then he owns that corporation, and he's got all the money that they've got in the bank. I just mention that because this thing is has got to be taken seriously.
I don't know anything about corporations per se, but can there be anything done? A lot of folks in the Lower 48 that don't want their land developed, who are going back to the land type of movement, are getting into land trusts. Could something like that be done around with the village corporations?
Well, that's something we've had hearings in Anchorage, and we've had witnesses from the Lower 48 come and talk about land trusts. And that's one possibility we're looking at. In other words, most places we go to, there are some people who say, well, let the corporations hang on to the land. Others say, let the IRA governments hang on to the land. And I've said, okay, look, this is, we got a chance to take a little time and look at this. Let's see if there are other alternatives, some other way of doing this to ensure Native people keep their land. Land trusts is one thing we're looking at. In Canada recently, just last month, a land trust was set up to hold the land of the Eskimos in the Mackenzie Delta, and that's a land trust, and the trustees are the Eskimos themselves. But they can't sell their land. They can't sell it to anybody except Eskimos. And the federal government has agreed they will never tax it. They'll never impose a property tax. Well, that's one way of doing it. They don't have what you would call an IRA government holding the land, because that means the Secretary of the Interior is the trustee and holds the land as trustee for the native people. But it is a way of having the advantages of an IRA government without the disadvantages. So that's one thing we're looking at. I guess this all sounds complicated, but that's because it is kind of complicated. Well, I don't know what was longest, your question or my answer, but did you have another question?
When it comes down to it, from what I understand, they had hoped, I think originally thought maybe some of the folks would become involved with management skills, such as financial and legal counseling and secretarial things and just other management skills that are involved with managing a huge corporation. But yet I see a lot of schools sometimes teach a lot of the basics, but a lot of folks don't go forward into, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I know a lot of folks probably just don't go any further and get that training that they need in order to manage their corporations. And also, if they are losing any kind of identity, a cohesiveness within their culture, and they may start marrying outside the culture, then they may not be, who's going to take over the villages and run the villages? First of all, they may not have the training, then they may marry outside the villages, that ethnic group, wherever it may be, and then they could be losing that, their cohesiveness in their village life that they're used to. So that's not really a question, I guess. It's just something I see could happen or is happening now, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, we're all related here, though. We can't marry inside here. Just that. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, let me, since I'm very likely won't be coming to Tiklek again. Let me say that my job is to write a report, and when I've written it next summer, I'll send it to you. And it'll be based on what you've told me, not just you, but people throughout Alaska. And my concern is that somehow Alaska Natives should be able to hang on to their land. Because there are Native people in the United States who lost their land, the Native Hawaiians. But there are as many of them as there are Native people in Alaska. They lost their land. They are Native people without any land. The real question here is, will a way be found to enable Alaska Natives to hang on to what they got in 1971?
Which way would you recommend, though, or to protect the lands of the Native people? How would you recommend it, that we be protected after 1991?
Well, there's a number of possibilities, but I want to think about them a little more. One is that Congress passes a law that says you can't sell your shares in the corporations. So that way, the Native shareholders will always hang on to the corporations and therefore hang on to the land. Now, that's one possibility. But remember this, that even if you only have Native shareholders, if your corporation goes into bankruptcy, you can lose the land that way. In other words, you can keep all the shareholders, Native people, but if your corporation loses so much money it can't pay its bills, then it can lose its land anyway. And then you wind up Native people owning a corporation, but the corporation has lost its land. That's something to bear in mind. The second thing is what a lot of the people have said, well, just transfer the land to the IRAs. They call that retribalization of land. Turn it over to the tribal governments and let them hold it, because they can't be taxed. They can't, if they go into debt, their land can't be seized to pay their debts, and they can't be taken over by outsiders. Then, as Mr. McGuinness, McGowan says, what about land trusts? And that's something else that they're trying. Native people are trying in other countries. In Australia, they have native land trusts. They're now developing them in Canada. In Maine, just 2 years ago, the native people made their settlement with the government of the USA. And they tried something different. I should tell you that that your settlement is unique. Nobody before 1971 ever had a settlement like yours, and nobody since has adopted a settlement like yours. So you're struggling with all these questions, and you're the right now in the world, you're the only native people who have this very special kind of settlement to contend with. And Congress, I think, did it with the best will in the world. You know, they thought, well, this is the best thing. Well, wherever I go, native people say, no, this wasn't the best thing. Why did you have to do this? Why couldn't you have let us do it our way? Well, here it is, and we have to fight our way through the thing somehow.
If the village takes, the IRA takes this out of the corporation hands, will that land be taken out of the corporation and set into IRA and be protected by IRA?
Well, yeah, if the village corporation turned its land over to the IRA, then the IRA would hold the land. Now, it's not quite that simple, because the Secretary of Interior has to agree that he will hold the land in trust for the people here, because IRA land is held in trust by the Secretary of the Interior. And when President Reagan came to Alaska in April to meet the Pope, he brought the Secretary of Interior with him, who said that he wouldn't agree to accept a transfer of land from the native corporations to the IRAs. Well, that means there's a problem there. That's one of the troubles with this thing. Wherever you turn, you keep running into a problem. So that's why Mr. McGowan's idea about land trusts might turn out to be quite important in the end. I don't know. It means we have to look at all possibilities.
Didn't they change the guys, though? What the heck was his name? The secretary.
Oh, James Watt resigned, but it was his
the other guy.
Replacement, Mr. Clark, who came to Fairbanks with President Reagan and said that he didn't want the native corporations to transfer their land to the IRAs. That's really what he was saying. Now, whether he could be persuaded to change his mind if Alaskan natives wanted to really make an issue of it is another matter. But that lies in the future. I think for the time being, the main thing is to figure out what's the best way to handle this.
Yeah, because I got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, and, you know, I'd like to see them protected with their dad's shares.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him sell it or lose it.
When she's talking about losing a share of her husband's, isn't it up to her husband to make a will that will go to the children if anything happens to him?
Yeah, but and even if he doesn't make a will, his shares will probably go to his wife and his children. If they go to his wife, then when she dies, they'll probably go to the children. So these children, when their parents die, eventually will get some shares. But this is the thing you have to decide. If you have one child, then that child will get all your shares, 100 shares. If another person has 10 children, then they have to divide up their shares with 10 children. So each child gets 10 shares. So in your generation, you've all got 100 shares. Next generation, some people have 100, some have 10, some have 50, some have 70. And of course, in the generation after that, it'll be even more divided, so that it isn't as if you all are equal. It will, and you have to decide, is that the kind of ownership you want of your land, or do you want it on the basis of equality, each generation holding on the same basis? So that's the problem problem there. There also is a since 1971 there's a very an even more difficult problem. That is, the only people entitled to be enrolled as shareholders are those who are at least one quarter Alaska Native. So some people holding shares now are only one eighth, or they may be white people. When divorces take place, suppose a Native man marries a white woman, they get a divorce. She is entitled to claim the shares for support, for alimony, maintenance, whatever you call it. So she, you have some non-Native people who are now shareholders in these corporations, and that group is growing in numbers. About 20% of all the shares that have been passed on by inheritance and by divorce, through divorce, are held by non-Native people now. So you're getting a growing block of non-Native shareholders. Now, some of those are children of Native parents, but they just don't happen to have one quarter Native blood. Others are non-Native people. Anyway, that's just another complication. Well,
I appreciate getting to hear you speak.
Well, well, we're glad we stopped here in Tetitlek. We're on our way to Cordova and to
eat. You got the list there.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, here's Cordova.
I was going to ask you a question about the Native claim. I think he can hear me just as well.
We can hear each other, but it doesn't go on the
table. You know, like houses that were on land before 71,
mm-hmm.
And that house, like my mother-in-law gave her house that my husband was born in to him, and then it burnt down just last May. We still got the water system going there now. Can he still claim that lot?
Oh, I don't know. That depends. There's some that would depend whether it was a allocated to his mother under the Native Town Site Act before 1971, and is the land held now by the village corporation? Do you know who actually holds the land?
No, but she was living in it in 71.
It was to my understanding that when she's talking about land, the Tetitlek Corporation had issued out some applications to be filled out for their land that they had prior to 1971. And some of us filled them out. I, for one, filled one out and mailed it into Tetitlek Corporation. And it saved my land I have down here. I got a smokehouse that I use every year. But I know two, three other people that were in Cordova came to me and asked me, how did you save your property, your land? I said, well, Tetitlik had sent out these applications, but they didn't quite explain what it was all about. I understood it. I went inquiring to different people, so I filled mine out, but I never did go back to Tetitlik Corporation to see if my land was still my land where I lived for 35 years down here on the waterfront. But I still have my smokehouse that I use years and years and years, and I'm getting pretty old now, 59, and I'm still using it today. But like I say, I have to look into Tetitlik Corporation to find out if I still own that land. But it, like I say, it was to that application that I filled out that it's still mine.
Well, that's done, I believe, under Section 14C of the...
I asked a couple guys that came from Anchorage on looking through that, and they said, yeah, that Fred could still apply for that lot because it was transferred down from his mother because his father had built that house.
Well, under the Act, the village corporations are supposed to assign those parcels of land to people who were using them before 1971.
In fact, I got pictures that was taken, you know, prior to that, and I got proof on it, but I'm going to still look into it to find out for sure, because I'm still getting a hassle from different people about it, you know, before these new houses came up. I lived in Cordova 12 years, and then new housing came up, and I liked it here, so I came back. But I was thinking if I ever did come back, I wanted to live on my property down in the waterfront because I liked it. It was so easy for me to do my smoking my salmon and drying my meat or doing whatever, you know, that I'm doing off the land to make me survive all winter. I've always did it every year. But like I say, I'm still going to look into it and find out for sure, because I've had different individuals coming to me and say, hey, you can't... keep your smokehouse there, and you can't build, and it's getting to be a big hassle for me, and I just don't like it, so I think I'll solve it by finding out right direct if it was approved or, but
sounds,
I know
sounds
for
like
a
good
fact
idea.
I filled it out.
Yeah, sounds
the
like
corporation
good
was supposed to send a couple people down to help people fill out these applications. They never did.
They were just simple little, really just simple to fill out. I did fill one, and then there was two, three other families that had lived here. They were sorry they didn't fill them out, but maybe they could get an extension, or they'd have a good alibi or something, I don't know. But I make trips into Valdez, but it never enters my mind that I should check into this.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should.
I will. Thank you.
I think that's one of the main problems with the with this act is people just don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't have any idea. It doesn't relate like the older generation, you know, up until 5 years ago, they didn't even have any bills, you know, I mean, or 10 years ago, they just cut wood and they put their fish up and they shot a deer and people brought them things, and then all of a sudden they've got bills to pay and they've got all these forms to fill out and people coming with surveys, and you know, it's just completely you know, no matter how simple they make the form, people are still going to throw it in the trash can because they don't know what it was for. You know, they didn't know that it was so important, you know, that they had to fill out a form, you know. They just weren't aware of that. And
well, a lot of people get mail and they just throw it in the trash too. I myself do it. But I make it now an effort to read it to see if it's anything important. Because a lot of mail is important nowadays.
Another big problem here in the village is there's so few people that want to get involved. I mean, it's almost, you know, you can count them on your one hand probably, that that want to get involved in and see something good come of it, you know, or, you know, just to get involved. It's just perhaps there was so many failures or, you know, yeah, things that fell through, you know. They said, well, we'll come to your village, we'll give you this, we'll give you housing, for an example. How many years did they say that?
From 77.
I heard
okay, from 1977.
I heard about new homes.
Then they finally got us new homes, and the foundations were so poor that the structure itself is coming apart at the seams, you know. And we've protested the foundations, and yet nothing has been done. Two houses were shored up so that, just as an experiment to see if the house would be better off by, you know. But all the rest of us have houses that shake constantly, you know, run across the floor and it shakes.
And that's a year ago. We've lived in these homes a year. 2 years, yeah.
2 years.
But like she says, nothing has been. They come down, take pictures, and they say, we'll do this, we'll do that, and come right down to it. We have to do it ourselves. It's coming out of our pockets. I don't see why we should be entitled to accept something like that. You know, if we're going to pay a big sum of money for our homes one day, you know. Right now, it's just like renting a home.
Yeah, and that's another thing about shareholders. They took, what, $1,500 worth of the shares to put your houses on the land? And Larry Hoy, that came down, threatened that they will lose that if, you know, that why should they make payments if the houses are shaking so mad and, you know, keep their end of the bargain up if we're going to keep ours?
Well, they give us 25 years to pay for our home here now.
We might find some in the bay by then.
They're beautiful homes. They're good view. They're well heated. It doesn't take much. It's just that they're coming apart.
Apart from that, they're fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But who knows? Like she says, maybe tomorrow my house is going to fall off of those stilts, which I let them see. They come down and take pictures of it, and you come up and look at it now. I don't even let my people on a Russian holiday get into my home, thinking that that house would collapse and then how many people would get hurt. That's what I think about. But this year it's going to be a different story. I'm a Russian Orthodox, and I'm going to have my people come in regardless. If the house wants to collapse, maybe it'll hold up with all those people. I don't know, but I'm going to just take that chance.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's my tradition. I can't say, hey, I don't need you because my house is going to collapse. And I like the carolers to come in, and I had to refuse them last year because I was thinking of their protection, because this could happen. You come and look at my home, you look at Doris's home, you look at my daughter-in-law's home. There's just faults and faults, one right after. Something's happening every day.
Our foundations are split in the pilings.
The hot water tanks are busting. My daughter-in-law's fuel tank, they come and fix that, and they drove a staple through her oil field, and it's leaking until just a couple of days ago we found that out. And they taped it up, you know, insulated it. And we wondered why her hot water motor was humming and it was burning out. It's just, I don't know, it's just, we've tried everything. We might be getting little results just coming down from these people to do a little. I could do it with tape, and I could use that sealer. In fact, I let them leave me sealer. I could do a better job. I'm just blown.
Anything to add?
I was thinking about what you said, you know, of Congress thinking that if the people of Alaska, the Native people, would just kind of melt right into, you know, the population, and this would be a success, you know. Yeah, I think that that is a failure, you know, because I think that the Native people have a way of life that has always been successful, you know. And the more that we rely on the civilized way of life, the worse things get, you know, as far as I'm concerned. You know, of course, it's just my own opinion, but myself, I missed out on the Alaska Native claim because down through my generations, my grandmother is Russian Aleut, and according to whoever they talked to, she was half Russian, half Aleut. And so when my father married a white woman, it left me out of the ANCSA. And you know, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it's they're drawing a fine line someplace, you know, that, I think they do this to us all the time, you know, these houses, I hear about them going into communities and BIA builds houses, you know, or whoever, you know, and they make them all electric or something, and there's no generator in the village. These people, they come down and they give us lovely homes, and the foundations are so poor that we don't even feel right living in them, you know. I mean, sure, we love our home, but, you know, it's all always these drawbacks, you know. And when we talked to them, we told them we don't like the foundation as they were building it. We told them we don't like the foundation. My husband told them that also when he was president of the council. And their answer to us is, are you architects? Do you know that this is not a good foundation, you know? And we said, hey, you can just look at it. It's bum, you know? And they said, well, it's earthquake proof, and it's built for the permafrost. That's what their excuse was. Well, finally, we got them to the point where they said it was for cost. The fellow who actually started the program embezzled a bunch of money, and they didn't have enough to give us a good foundation, you know. But these are all things that, you know, way down the end of the line, we find out about, we have to live with them, you know. And I think what Mr. the teacher said was true, you know, we need more training. And I think the nonprofits and the profit corporation, well, the nonprofit for sure should give us more training and educate the people in the villages and help them to understand these problems. I think we're pretty much in the dark as far as like the issues, 1991, land issues, what's our corporation doing, you know? We're pretty much in the dark for the most part. And for all the millions of dollars they're putting into, you know, letting this ANCSA be a success, I think a lot more money should be spent on just public awareness and training for people in the rural areas, you know. I think it's real important.
We've got an elderly's conference coming up the 8th of next month. And we're hoping that, my daughter-in-law is the coordinator for that, plus we get a lot of help from the ladies, but we're hoping that we could get more children involved to learn our values of our land, our culture, and teach them all our bilingual and everything. I find that since I've moved back, just this year, that more of these school students are getting more involved in this. And when we have the elderly's conference, that we're going to invite the whole community, because it concerns the children nowadays, you know, to teach them all these values.
Well, thanks very much for coming. This has been a good little meeting, and I'm glad the school children came over.
That's what I mean. They're getting more involved in things they like to learn.
And we're glad we had this visit. to the town, and nice to meet you all. And I think I'm coming to the North Pacific Rim conference next month, or it's October or November, so I'll maybe see some of you then.
I wish we could have had more of the presidents, or even the president for the corporation here now, and other ones, you know, to speak, but they're all gone, or they just don't care to get involved or say their piece, you know.
Well, we've heard from them a lot of places we've been, you know.
Yeah, so.
Here we just fly in at 12:30 and leave at 3. You can't expect them to be on the beach and stand for attention to that.
Could
I have the spellings of your name? Yeah. Oh, well, we had a meeting at Akiachak, and we went down to Antioch just to look around.
T-I-E-D-E.
And my wife came with me to the demonic back in February.
J-E-S-S-I-E.
You,
February.
Do you have some relation named Lloyd?
No, it was Lloyd. Mine is